radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Time, but space is a place that only a human being locates. Where there's so much information to take, there you enter an entirely new place. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Heart and soul, body and mind, but the very essence of our existence is spirit. What is it about the human spirit that produces the courage and the strength to beat insurmountable odds, to survive and endure despite unbelievable circumstances? Our spirit embodies the very essence of our existence. We believe that it has been handed down from generation to generation, beginning in Africa, the motherland, where for eons, we believe that the Creator heard us when we cried, saw us when we faltered, and helped us along the way. And now, more than ever, it is time for us to get back in touch with the spirit that lives inside us all. Because without it, we are less than whole. But with it, there is nothing we cannot overcome. For the essence of our existence is spirit.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We started off the program with a little ditty from The Sounds of Blackness called Spirit. It's actually called Africana, but it's about spirit. And it is reminding us that our essence is spirit. And today we will have guests who are involved in vibrational healing. And so before we play that interview, which took place at the Black History Showcase Easter Sunday, we need to understand what spiritual healing is all about. What is spirit? Well, spirit is our essence. And unfortunately, because we live in a materialistic culture, one that eschews any real understanding of spirit and spirituality. When you talk about spirit and spirituality, they mock you and try to make it like you're talking about spooks and ghosts, or they use it as a trump to show how hip they are. The essence is that spirituality and the spirit is undefinable in the sense of a materialistic culture, meaning that they have attempted to ascertain, measure it. They have weighed people that were on their deathbeds and hospices, and upon transition, they weighed them, and their weight is essentially the same. So what this states is that it is immeasurable in terms of, or quantifiable in terms of, present day machines. Now, they can measure brain waves. They can understand from their perspective that much of what we would call spirituality is various gradations of electromagnetic waves or frequencies. But this is a strictly materialistic approach to it, because true spirit is energy, it is consciousness, it is intelligence, and it is power. It is undifferentiated, it's non-corporal, you can't touch it, it doesn't have any form, and it is omnipresent, it is everywhere. The universe as we know it is an emanation of this spirit, this energy, this intelligence, this consciousness, and this power that can think, plan, organize, create, and sustain all that we see. Now, a lot of religions profess and purport to want to have their devotees and their disciples and their followers link with this spirit. But unfortunately, because of their limited understanding, most of it is in an anthropomorphic form. In other words, they say God, and their God is some white guy off in space, some giant white guy who was hurling lightning bolts, judgment and condemnation at them, waiting to punish them for eternity in some netherworld unless they do what their intermediaries, the priesthood or the ecclesiastical hierarchy, tells them to do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the African and the basic aboriginal notions of spirit. And just to give you some idea what I'm talking about, so we'll know when we listen to our interview with the two ladies, the two healers, Sheila Quarles and Kathy Morris. This energy permeates everything. Our African ancestors called it Ashe, they called it Jock, they called it Nomo, they called it many things. The Asians call it the Chi. Europeans, because they're the more dense, they're the more earth-grounded people, they tend to be less spiritual, and they tend not to really have a full understanding. And it's only, ironically, for the most part, the new field of quantum physics that even begins to address it. But they address it strictly as a physical phenomenon, meaning, you know, that whole E equals MC squared and all of that. They're talking about energy is really matter, and that operates on different frequencies, but they refuse to assign a intelligence or consciousness to it. And so it just becomes this spooky kind of thing that they put out there, like the universe is just a result of this big bang or this random explosion. But I want to share something with you. It's called The Hidden Properties of Matter: The Mystical Teachings of the Memphite Theology in Ancient Egypt, by Dr. Moata Abhaya Ashby. And he probably can give us some idea, and I'll just put some meat on the bones prior to our break. In the last 100 years, the scientific community has developed entirely new concepts in understanding the universe. Prior to the emergence of notable physicists such as Albert Einstein, the universe was thought to be a collection of physical objects with set properties and immutable existence. With the introduction of quantum theory and the particle accelerator experiments that have proven it, a major revolution has occurred in the scientific community. No longer is the universe seen as a machine composed of intricate parts, but as a wondrous collection of objects that are all interrelated and inseparable, whose underlying essence is one and the same, energy. This has been the revolutionary discovery of modern physicists, that the world as the human senses see it is not at all what it really is under the rigorous examination of modern scientific instruments. Nature has been revealed to be an integrated entity which is guided by an intelligence which is beyond the grasp of science. Does this sound familiar? Ancient mystical philosophers have stated that the world is an illusion from which humankind needs to wake up. From the ancient Egyptian pyramid text to the Indian Upanishad, there are statements claiming that the universe is not what it appears to be to the human senses and mind. Ancient philosophers and mystics discovered that the human mind and senses are too limited to see nature in its true form. For this reason, they have compared ordinary human existence to a dream. However, when the human mind undergoes certain disciplines of purification of the thought processes and the understanding of the teachings which come from those who have been successful in transcending their limited minds and senses, then an entirely new view of existence emerges. This is why the ancient sages 8,000 years ago in ancient Egyptian pyramid texts proclaimed that we must wake up from the dreamlike state, which most people consider to be quote-unquote normal. That's taken from a book by Dr. Muwatta Appiah Ashby, The Hidden Properties of Matter. And we encourage you to look into Dr. Ashby's works as well as the works of Ra'un Nefer Amen, Medu Netcher, Volumes 1 through 4, and really meditate on what they mean and the implications, because the West is very benighted and backward in terms of its understanding of spirituality and what it means, what the implications are. We're talking about a dynamism that permeates everything. Even so-called inanimate objects are imbued with this. And we as human beings are a emanation and a manifestation of this intelligence, of this energy that we call life, the animating life force. And when that life force exits this form, we call that death. But it's really not a cessation, it's a transition from being encased in a physical form, a constantly changing, very complex and wonderfully made physical form, back to an ethereal form, back into the spirit realm from which it came. And the intelligence, the consciousness is in us at all times. It's just that by our nature, we have a, quote, waking consciousness that allows us paradoxically to see the illusion that we call the world. And because we've been conditioned to think with our left brain and to eschew metaphysics, the underlying reality behind the physical, we think what we see, these illusions and this misinterpretation of quote unquote reality is real, when in fact it's not. The physicists, from their perspective, everything is vibrating at different rates and different frequencies, and some of it is more dense, some of it is more ethereal, but everything is vibrations emanating from this source. But from their perspective, the source may have intelligence, but it doesn't have consciousness, and they don't view it as having volition and the power to create. They haven't thought it through that way. They're so caught up in the minutiae of subatomic particles and the energy and all of that, they can't see the big picture. But that's what we are. We are in a sea, an ocean of energy. And some of the Indians called it prana, this energy that's in the air. And we can empower ourselves through regulating our breath. And that's what yoga is all about. But there are other forms of spiritual healing, vibratory healing. And we're going to listen to two sisters that I met at the Black History Showcase who do spiritual healing, Sheila Quarles and Kathy Morris. We'll speak with them shortly after we come back from this break and after I add a few more comments about spirituality, because it is our essence as African people, we clearly have a history and a heritage of understanding healing and wellness and well-being in light of spirituality. And spirituality and health and healing is not just a personal issue, it is a collective issue. And that is the focal point primarily of health and healing from an African or an Aboriginal perspective. Yes, they treat the person, but they also look at the system, the social networks that one finds him or herself in, the relationships, the psychological and emotional environment, and they attempt to deal with that. It's just when the Europeans saw it, they didn't understand it. They called it voodoo, they called it casting spells and all of that. They were using herbs to treat the physical symptom, but they were also using rituals, they were incantations to bring about a higher consciousness or a healing or reconciliation. Keep in mind, Africans understand balance, harmony, and reconciliation. You can have conflicting or seemingly opposites existing together, but they are best if they're in a harmonious relationship. And that's what first world people, Aboriginal people, seek to live in harmony with their environment and understand this from a higher level of consciousness. And so, don't go anywhere. We'll comment more on this prior to our interview with the healers and as they talk about what they do and how they arrived where they are, Sheila Quarles and Kathy Morris. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back following these messages. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind and your spirit right here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul at blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. The Blake Radio Network is now totally mobile. We can connect and we can carry it with us on our smartphones, iPhones, Androids, as well as HTML for other phones. So make sure that you download the applications, the apps, for all of the programs. You can go to your Androids, you can go to iPhones. Take full advantage of it. So this means that you can carry us with you on your laptop, your notepads, your various personal devices, whether it is Android or iPhone. Take full advantage of this and make sure that you're one of the first in your crowd to get both Rainbow Soul and Music Massage. Now, Music Massage has been out and available for about 3 weeks to a month. Android apps have been available for Rainbow Soul for about a week or so, going on 2 weeks. And now it's official that iPhones and HTML are available. You'll be hearing additional information from Neil himself, I'm pretty sure. And just say you heard it here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary. Prior to the break, we were talking about spirit, that dynamism that has created all that there is, all that we see with our five senses, all that we see through clairvoyance and clairutterance. It is an energy, very subtle energy, intelligence, consciousness, power. It's omnipresent, it's omnipotent. It is all there is. And it is all around us. We are immersed in it. It is part of us. It's in every cell, every organ of our body, infusing us with the life force, the energy, and the consciousness. To show you how it works, our cells die. Millions of our cells die every day. We don't feel it. They keep on keeping on. They come in at the same conscious day. Unless our immune system is compromised, those cells remain true to the DNA, which is our divine code for each and every one of us. It's very unique. The DNA of identical twins is not exactly the same. So this is the magnificence, the diversity, and the purposefulness of spirit, which some would call God. I refrain from using that term because it's so malign, and we are taught to believe in anthropomorphic and racist terms, that God is some white guy off in space and he's vindictive, mean, and jealous, and he has favorites. It's preposterous. It's nonsense. It's been used by many groups to lord it over the ignorant masses. And I mean ignorant not in the sense of lacking intelligence, but they're not aware. They haven't delved into the deep thought like our African ancestors did. We are awash in energy. There are energy centers in the body called chakras. We're going to share a piece, and I'll give the brother credit. His name is Keith Young. He has a whole series. He has a channel on YouTube. He has a whole series of videos that address a myriad of issues for African people, people of African descent, African history, spirituality, you name it. And so in this snippet, Keith is talking about the chakras. And it's important that we understand this because it will help us to really grasp what the sisters are talking about when they're talking about vibrational healing and what they use and the techniques that they use and why it's so important. We're also talking about internal power, metaphysics. We're talking about consciousness, raising our consciousness, raising the vibratory level of our mind, the energy of our mind, so that we resonate with the more profound wisdom, guidance, and intelligence of the Creator, this spirit that is within us. And we have access. It's closer than our very breath, as the Bible says. That's why those people can make statements, "Before you call, I will answer," and on and on, because it is an integral and integrated part of ourselves. And we need to understand that if we are going to grow evolve into all that the Creator intends for us to be, because we are here for a reason. Everything is purposeful. This is not random. It's not an accident. It's not helter-skelter or anything like that. So we're going to share a snippet by Keith Young, and then following that, the next voices you will hear will be Kathy Morris and Sheila Quarles from Inner Journeys Heals. Stay tuned.
Talking earlier, I touched on chakras, right? I told you ancient medicine, healing, and enlightenment. These are the energy centers in your body, all right? Now, these are correlated to, remember, maybe some of you all weren't here when I first was speaking. I was telling you all that I've been a graphic designer for about 15 years, a little more than 15 years. And I use colors, pictures, and words to speak to you, to send a message to you, to make you hungry, to make you want to purchase things,
right,
to make you want to buy my service. All right. Now, before I got into this knowledge, I didn't know why. I just knew certain colors, red and yellow, makes you hungry. I just knew that. I knew that based on my study of color and advertising. Okay? Well, I didn't know the spiritual reason why red and yellow makes you hungry. Red is your root chakra.
Come on.
All right? That's the base instinct. It's talking about survival and security. Right. It's where you get the earth from. You just get that strong. You feel planted to the earth and everything down here. That's the lowest, that's the densest form of energy. I think I heard you earlier talking about the denser your energy,
right,
the more firmly you're planted on the earth as a third dimensional person. Okay. The second chakra is orange. The abode is in this area, your groin area. Okay.
Oh.
It's talking about your emotions, your sexual energy, and your creativity. Alright? So, yellow, the third chakra, this is your solar plexus area. Alright? Your stomach. This deals with your mental functions, your power, control, freedom, your hunger, your passion. Okay? So, when McDonald's has the fries, red box, yellow M.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I want that. Your passion is telling you, I want McDonald's. They're using the colors to sell you.
Sure.
And it's correlated to your spirit. That's why the colors, that's why it works. If you wonder why those colors work, that's why.
Look, what color I need to put out in front of us? Don't check
it. Well, yellow, red and yellow works for food.
Okay.
All right. It's still very attractive, but pinks and blacks are very good for advertising on the outside. It's very eye-catching.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The fourth chakra is green, the heart chakra. Love, balance, and compassion. This is where you get your equilibrium from. That's why I was saying you got to get this right. Because this balances out all the chakras. All right. Going up higher to the fifth chakra. This is in this area, the throat area. All right. Speech and self-expression, power and vibration. The sixth chakra is indigo, all right? It's the third eye area. Psychic abilities, imagination, clairvoyance, all of that stuff that they say, those psychic phenomena, all right, that seem to be so popular. Once again, that was a whole movement around the 80s, too. This whole UFOs and psychic phenomena, and, you know, they used to have lots of TV shows about it. And violet. The crown chakra, spiritual connection, understanding, knowing, bliss, and oneness. All right, so once you have opened up all those chakras, you have realized all the power that's inside of you. And then you can say, I am. Mm. All right, that's what Jesus said, I am. And they asked, they was like, they was looking for something to throw at him. Why were they wanting to throw something at him? They tell you in the Bible, it says, well, because you're saying that you're equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying I am, he's like, well, it's not robbery for me to say I'm equal with God. I am.
Yeah.
Right.
I am that I am. And when you realize that you are, then people want to kill you if you say it, because, one, they don't realize that they are.
Right.
But, two, they don't want you to be. And how dare you, because they've been taught that you're nothing. Compared to God, you're nothing. You're a speck of sand. You're dust in his eye. You're nothing. And you should be humble and poor and begging and That's your position and your state in this world and in this life. You're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the Bible it says when you raise Christ up,
mm-hmm.
then all men will be drawn to you.
Yes.
I'll draw all men to me if you raise Christ up.
Mm-hmm.
Raise Christ in yourself.
Yes.
Christ is not a name.
It's a
title.
It's a title.
Christ means anointed.
Yeah.
All right. It's a form of oil.
Yeah.
All right. Just like you got Christ. You have Christos. It comes from Christos.
Grace is Professor Griffin. You're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up. All right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griffin, Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Oh, my goodness.
Our guests are Sheila Qualls and Kathy Marsh. They're partners, and they have a holistic health endeavor entitled Inner Journeys. It's located in Philadelphia, and we're going to speak with them. And it's a pleasure to meet both of you. It's quite fortuitous, actually. I was coming out of a workshop here at the Black History Showcase on health and just happened to bump into them. And, of course, there's no coincidence in the universe, so it was made to be. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to say is that I've come to learn that healing is possible, healing of all ailments or diseases. Mm.
First of all, tell us who you are, because they can't see you.
Oh, okay, I forgot you can't see me. Well, my name is Sheila Qualls. I'm also called Zahara Akeem. And I began my partnership with Kathy Morris, the founder of Inner Journeys, I started out as a client. Let me start there. I started out as a client because I had been diagnosed with a mild brain injury, and I was classified as totally disabled and unemployable. And that's something that I wasn't willing to accept. One of the things I asked the doctor after I'd been tested for weeks was that when he told me that my brain cells had been destroyed, I asked him the test that they took, did they test my entire brain or the 10% that medical history says that we know about? And he said we could only test the 10% we know about. Well, that made me decide that I would pursue the 90% they don't know about. So that started my journey on traditional healing. And I call it traditional and authentic healing. So after a journey of everything from Reiki to acupuncture to firewalking, I came across Kathy Morris. And then working with her, it was as though my brain was connected like a Rubik's Cube, finally getting in place, like getting a new pair of glasses. And I discovered that unconditional love does exist. And I discovered that healing is possible only through forgiveness, that forgiveness is a major key in healing. So, you know, after being a client of hers for many years, she moved to Barbados, and I asked her if she ever came back to the States, could we partner up so I could help her get this message out there? And that's what we do.
So you've been doing this for several years now. How did you partner with her? How did that come about? Other than your relationship as a practitioner and a client, how did the business part come about?
Well, what I wanted to do is really get the word out there, and as you can hear, I love to talk. And Kathy's kind of like a quiet healer. You know, she just goes about her way, healing people if they need. And I said, listen, you know, my background is sales and marketing and business-to-business expansion. So let's partner up and let me assist you in getting this message out there. So what I did was I started looking for products to help people understand the invisible, what's unseen. Our first product I discovered was the Himalayan salt lamps. You know, and they're lamps that work on many, many levels. It's like that good feeling you get when you stand in front of the ocean and you just automatically feel relaxed. Well, those lamps give you the same feeling because they are emitting thousands of negative ions. So I started identifying products to help people understand, when we talk about the unseen, what that means when you're healing the invisible. And also helping to get the word out by doing workshops, teaching people that food can be used to heal, that music can be used to heal, you know, and how
aromatherapy, things like that.
All of that works. It works, and it really is what it's been handed down from our ancestors. It is our authentic and natural way to heal, but we've gotten a little off track through all the commercials.
Just
well,
a little.
I'm trying to be polite.
I maintain that we're whack.
Well, see, I don't want to say that, but we really have been operating in under a delusional way of working. on what heals. So, I guess. So, yeah, that's really, and it's really important to know that you can. I mean, all of us had those stories that our grandmothers, you know. I remember when I was a young mother and my baby son had a fever, and my mother said, slice some onions up, girl, and put them on his feet and put some socks on them, white socks. And I was like, what kind of healing is that? The fever disappeared. You know, so those are all like fantasy things now, or, you know. But
they make you drink pot liquor and all that kind of
all
stuff.
All that kind of stuff. But it worked, you know, and it's about using. The wonderful thing about holistic healing is that it does no harm. There are no side effects. So, you know, that makes it stand alone very differently from the other aspect of medical, the medical approach. We're not looking at your symptoms. You know, a person says, oh, I have a headache.
They want to take
an aspirin or a painkiller to address that pain. We go in there and find out, well, what is the cause of your headache? Where were you? What were you thinking?
Right.
Who were you
what
around?
What kind of social network are you in?
Exactly. Right. You know, so holistic healing means your whole body, all of you, body, mind, and soul. It all works together. It's not isolated.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've gotten to the talkative one. Now we're going to the one who says she's shy, but she emanates an energy. So tell the folks who you are, and how did you get into holistic healing?
My journey started out as I came in through like a back door.
Tell folks who you are.
I'm Kathy Morris.
Okay.
I'm a writer, owner, and a healer of inner journeys. And I started out getting hit by a car while I was working as a Philadelphia police officer.
Oh, okay.
So I was one of the first 100 women on the force. And after the accident, I had nothing but time on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you were on leave and you were recuperating.
Disability,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of pain.
Oh, okay.
And I started, you know, things started coming to me. After, you know, I was sitting home, and then all of a sudden I started getting flashbacks about my childhood. And I discovered at that point that I had been incested by my father and impregnated at 8 by him. So I went on, just started my inner journey, which took me through 12 years of traditional talk therapy, 4 years of non-traditional rebirthing. And every day I woke up, the first thing I thought about was...
Right, now explain to our listeners who may not understand rebirthing. You're going back either in
rebirthing
past lives or your own this incarnation over and go and analyzing. Is that what that is? Or
no, rebirthing is conscious cleansing breath over like a 2-hour period.
Okay.
Or an hour.
So why
period.
Do they call it rebirth?
Because as you start breathing deeply, more oxygen comes into your body, and then these memories come up through the process. So sometimes you go back to the rebirthing process, but my process took me back to the abuse, all the abuse that had happened to me. And it became crystal clear as to what had happened. I could no longer deny it, because for many years I said, no.
So you had squashed it down?
Squashed it down. My first memory came back when I was in my 30s. So I didn't remember it as a child. So as I started working through these memories and rebirthing, I had more clearer memories of what happened. So that means, you know, I was inpatient 4 different times for suicidal, homicidal, all kinds of stuff. And just really out of control at that point, trying to get my life back together again. And someone told me that I needed to come and have some vibrational healing, which is another alternative healing. And I had tried everything, so I figured I had no other place to go other than either death or try something different. Mm-hmm. And I tried that.
Were you feeling really despondent and depressed and at
depressed,
that point?
Despondent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent most of my time in bed, you know, just really not wanting to be seen and not really functional at that point. And then, you know, once I had the vibrational healing, my entire life changed. The next day I woke up, nothing was on my mind. It was completely blank. And I was like, I was shocked, because I had worked so hard to I just wanted to get to a neutral point in my life. And when there was nothing in my mind, I felt free. I sold my house in Philadelphia. I traveled through Europe. I lived in Jamaica, and I also lived in Barbados.
Of course, so how long was this?
This was the course of years of time. It wasn't all at once. And when I was in Barbados, Sheila was calling me every day and asking me when I was coming back to the States. And she said when I came back to the States, she wanted to partner up and for us to work together. So at that point, I went to D.C., and I lived there for 3 years. And I moved back about 4 years ago now. So I've been in Philly about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when did you two hook up and get involved in inner healing and what you're doing now?
We hooked up 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Natural Healing Center was in D.C. And I didn't like D.C., so I decided to come back to Philly because I'm from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been here 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
3 years in D.C. and 4 years here.
You said you're located in North Philly. Where exactly where?
Our address is right on a little small street called North Street. And we're between the 15th and 16th between Fairmont Avenue and Wallace. So it's actually a small townhouse. And how we operate is that we work by appointment only.
Okay.
So that when you come, you're the only one there.
Right.
And that assures you privacy, and that assures you exclusivity.
Right.
So, and we are available 7 days a week. And we can be reached by internet. We can be reached.
Website?
We have a website. It's www.innerjourneys-heals.com. And we also have an email address. Inner Journeys, all one word, INNERJOURNEYS at ATT.net. And we also have numbers you can call. We do the old-fashioned thing. You can be reached at 202-905-1030 or 610-476-1043.
Okay. Give the phone numbers again.
202-905-1030. 416-1043.
Okay. Now, what is it that you would want people to know about Inner Journeys? I mean, you're holistic. This is the internet, so people all over the world are going to hear it. So that creates good things. Then it creates a problem because they can't get to you. So in time and space, often. So what information would you want folks to know? And then are you available for distance consultations like over the telephone or internet?
Yes, I do work by telephone.
Okay.
What people need to know is that no matter what's going on with you, no matter what kind of pain you have, whether it's physical, emotional, or psychological, that it can be healed. So there's no reason to feel bad because there's ways in which that you can heal yourself and to really tap into your true essence and be happy.
Now what you're saying to many, particularly in the allopathic field, that's heresy. I mean, if this was the Middle Ages, you'd be burned at the stake. Obviously, what type of people come to you? People who have either given up on traditional, quote-unquote, Western-type healing modalities, or people who have a sense that they're drawn to you, you know, just because of the energy you give out. Who are most of your clients like? Is there a profile?
I think all people come to us. Some people come out of curiosity, and then they're really surprised that they actually do feel better after the session, because they don't really believe that it is possible to let go of some of that old baggage. Some people are comfortable with their baggage. So is it, you know, and if you want your baggage, that's no problem. But if you really want a change and have a life-changing change happening after the session, because you will not leave as you came in. So it's all people come, you know, mostly people who are really tired of the doctors, you know, have been through a lot of different treatments and they're very sick, you know, from the side effects from the different medicines they're taking, and or, you know, have cancer people. We have a lot of, it's across the board, you know, from depression for many years, or they have, you know, pain in their leg. So it's across the board, the kind of people.
Now, you mentioned the importance of forgiveness. So how do you incorporate that into your healing modality? You know, because that's not a pill and you can't write a prescription for that.
Well, we have several exercises and techniques to help people tap into what may be considered like a hidden anger, you know, because a lot of times it's what's buried beneath that's, you know, that's suppressed, exactly, that is causing some kind of diseasement, you know. And when you asked about people that come to us, we even have younger people that come to us who are just trying to figure out their way in life, you know, like, well, where am I going to go next? Who am I? What kind of career choices should I make? You know, what's going on? You know, dealing with, as you get older and you're trying to deal with that, those family issues, because all of us have family issues, you know.
So you can't be in this country and not have issues.
Exactly, but how to deal with that in a healthy modality? How to set boundaries, you know, in a way that supports you, you know, and helps you be more connected and honors you so you can move on, and teaching people how to honor you and be respectful of you.
Now, you, Sheila, you're a Reiki master.
Yes.
So how did you, how were you introduced to Reiki?
Well, I was introduced to Reiki as I was on that journey on trying to heal. And as I was receiving it, I was told by the person who was giving it to me that you should be a healer, you should study it. So I studied those, went to the three levels of studying Reiki, and that gave me a clear understanding about how energy really works and how we are energy. And you can break it down, you know, scientifically, that we are energetic beings and that we're mostly water and that kind of thing. And people tend to take for granted when they have that instinct to call somebody or to make a move or, you know, but I say it's so simple. It's like if you're walking down the street and you don't hear anyone, but you sense someone's behind you and you turn around and you see them, you've tapped into that energetic body that you have. We just don't use it enough. And what we are trying to teach people is to tap into that inner power that you have.
Right.
Believe it and use it, and use it to your benefit.
Now, Kathy, you mentioned vibrational healing. What is that, and how do you incorporate that in what you do? Because the reason, you know, we live in a materialistic culture, and with the West, if you can't see it, you can't taste it, touch it, smell it, they think it doesn't exist. So vibrations are energy. So how do you use that in your healing?
Well, we do a lot of education and teaching people about energy. It's like you could feel, if you walk into a room, have been fighting.
Right.
You know,
right.
You didn't see them, they may be smiling, but they're, you know, you can feel the energy in the room. So we do a lot of talking about you getting on a crowded elevator, you're pulling yourself in. What are you pulling in? You're pulling in your energy fields. So these are the most powerful energy, powerful fields that we have. We use them all the time, but nobody ever talks about them. So how I work is I work on the aura, the outer bodies, clearing the chakras. These are all energy fields that we have, and I found them to be the most powerful energy. Once the blocks are removed from those areas, magic happens in your life. Not really magic, because what happens is that you just kind of tap into what was already there.
Right.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what happened to me. I use a lot of coaching. I talk a lot to people before anything happens because, you know, it's like you got to explain everything and show them that it is possible to heal just by using my story. I tell my story all the time. Because most people think, well, how'd you go from there to here? You know, so it's like, I don't know myself, but I do know it's a miracle and I'm supposed to be here. Because there were so many times that I might not have been here, just based on, you know, my career and my relationships, you know. The kind of toxins I was putting in my body.
Right.
So there's a lot of things along the way that said, you're not supposed to be here, but I'm here. But I'm here by the grace of God, and that's why I'm here.
Okay. Now, with Reiki, there are hand positions and, you know, your intention and all that. What do you use? Do you use any kind of manipulation? I mean, is it like acupressure? Is it purely spiritual? Is it like acupuncture where people use needles or is it more rapport, you're developing a rapport, a spiritual rapport with people?
I use natural stones, crystals.
Oh, okay.
They assist in the healing.
Any magnets? You use magnets?
No, I haven't even gotten to the magnets yet.
Okay.
But I also use sound. Sound. And I dove a little bit into tribal methods.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you mean Native American, African.
African.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, and I use some techniques which help to propel the healing. Now, after the healing, it's not going to be all smooth and easy after that, because we have what we have, what we call as a healing crisis, which means that you might be feeling a little funny after the healing, like after massage. You just don't jump right up off the table. So you might feel a little bit like that. And also, you know, it takes about 3 days for you to kind of bounce out all of it. So what we do is we kind of keep in touch with people and hold their hand along the way to let them know that you're not sick, you're not crazy, and that this is all part of your healing that's you're letting go.
I was going to say that, you know, because human beings are creatures of habit, they could leave you and then go back to the same habit of thought, verbiage and physical activity, and then aren't they opening themselves up to the same forces that put them under and put them in the state of quote-unquote dis-ease?
Well, I love that question, because, you know, the truth is, if you're ready to change and heal, then this will be propel you into healing. Some people said they went back to eating, let's say, steak, and they said it didn't taste the same. The taste buds have changed.
Okay.
So it's about what's happening is that your mindset and all the blocks that's been around us that really might have drawn you to the negative behavior now is no longer there. So now you can make more of a free will choice as to what it is that you want to do.
Now, will that impact the social network? Because indigenous people understand that healing is a group thing. And oftentimes, it's the group and the ill will that we might have or have suppressed, you know, for something that happened or something that's going on. After they leave you, do they get back to the people, places, and things, or do they move on?
I love that question. That's a great question, because a lot of times what happens if you're in a toxic relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go home, and then you have a big fight. Because what the vibration healing does, it vibrates out, outward, around everything around you. So it's going to affect your people, places, and things. So it might look crazy, it might feel bad, but what happened is that it's clearing away all the debris, the muck and the mire that you've been around, and you are keenly aware of this energy at that point. Now you might look at it differently. You will look at it differently, and you will feel, maybe this energy no longer resonates with me. But again, we have free will. It's up to them to choose if they want to change that energy. But right now, you know, once the healing has happened, it's wide open. They can choose to stay in the same stuff, or they can choose to move on. You know, after my healing, I took off running. It's like I wanted to move away and just get going and start living my life in a way that was beneficial for me and others. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, other than some people want their stuff. And that's fine. I don't judge that.
Right.
You know, some people might come back. I'm not the kind of person that's
so what you do is non-judgmental. So
yeah.
You're just doing right.
You're not going to just keep coming back, getting healing. You got to do some work. So the work is, you know, forgiveness exercises. The work is writing. The work could be, you know, going out and going into nature, sitting in the sun, you know, go by the water. So if you're not willing to do that work to make a change in your life so that you can be happy, I'm okay if you're okay. You know, so I did a lot of forgiveness exercises because I forgave both of my parents.
That's what you had to do, yeah.
Yeah, I forgave both of my parents and took care of both of them until they died.
Mm-hmm.
So, I found that it was more beneficial for me to forgive them because it showed me that I had a large capacity to love.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you being angry with them, not hurting them.
Right.
A lot of times, and you partially answered my question even before I ask it. But what about reinforcement? Sometimes people need the push or the stroke on the back or the encouragement to keep on the process or keep on the path. So are there follow-ups, or how do you handle that?
Yes, we keep in contact with the people.
You said that.
After the session, we call them every day for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the 3 days, we call them maybe once a month or every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that we keep in contact with people. So, yes, it's the key part of it is to build community, to build that support system, because we don't have support systems in our life like that. Because we're telling people to do what most of their friends or peers are telling them is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we're telling people to follow their intuition, to follow their heart.
Right.
Not just to go to work just because they have to make money. And
so, in essence, you're telling them to engage in a life of purpose, you know, find their purpose and all that. Okay. Now, Sheila, you do Reiki, and so Reiki's not necessarily a one-and-done type process. So, in looking at this or what you do, what Kathy does, you know, is, I guess, slightly different from what you do with the Reiki? Or is it all part of you worked it out, so it's like a continuum of what you do as your joint mission?
I would have to say it's really our joint mission. I mean, you know, what I do is, and when the sessions is really hold and help and assist in the space and the healing. And I'm the one that, when people come to us, I'm actually the scribe. So as the session and the conversation and the coaching is going on, I'm actually writing everything down.
So and, when the person comes, they see both of them?
They see both of us, yes.
Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
right.
Teamwork.
She doesn't do Reiki. Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, not anymore. I just basically, you know, what I've learned is that in looking for energetic ways to heal, when I discovered what Kathy does with the vibrational healing, it far surpasses what I was able to do as a Reiki master.
Okay.
You know, so what Reiki did for me was help me understand energy healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could understand what she was doing very clearly and how it worked. I wasn't confused by it, and I welcomed it.
Now, I've encountered in the last 2 weeks two sisters who are Reiki masters, and one specializes in distance healing. Can you do that with your vibratory and vibrational healing?
Yes, I've had clients from all over the world, India, Canada. I speak to them on the phone, and I can, because, you know, there's no continuum of time.
Time and space, really.
Yeah,
space.
Really, and it works, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, I love to see the people in person, but if they cannot make it in person, I can definitely talk to people on the phone and do some healing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now when they go to your website, what do they see? Can they click on and make an appointment? Can they ask you questions? How can they use the technology to help themselves and make the connection?
Well, we have a very basic one-page website, which gives Kathy's bio and my bio. It gives our email address, and it also gives our phone number, because we really believe in that face-to-face, or at least that one-on-one connection. Because what we're trying to do is to step beyond, and I know this is on the internet, but, you know, go beyond
that interpersonal, step away from the
you know, just to, even if you know, if you can't be face to face, that's our first priority. I mean, we come out to you. I mean, we call it healing on wheels. No, if they can't make it to us, then we can make an effort to come out to the person face to face, because again, it's about sharing and exchanging that energy, that humane energy that we have, that we've kind of gotten to the habit of disconnecting from. You know, if you're walking down the street with your earplugs in and you're listening to music or doing whatever you're doing, the person walking behind you is doing the same thing or on the phone, you're not connecting, you know, and it gets you into the habit of disconnecting from those senses that we're talking about. You know, because you're not there.
Right.
You're not tuned in. So we want to tune in to you, you know, one-on-one.
So we either want to see you or hear you, period. So we have a basic one-page, you know, website. Just get our phone number or email us. We'll call you.
Yeah.
Either way, we're not encouraging, you know, the electronic communication.
All right, give me your website URL again, your email address and the phone number, then we'll let you go.
Okay, great. Okay, the email is Inner Journeys, one word, InnerJourneys, @att.net. The phone number is 202-905-1030 or 610-476-1043. The website address is www.innerjourneys-heals.com.
Any final comment? Because I see you start to warm up and you start to get real animated and talking and all. Wait a minute, I thought she said she was shy.
I don't have anything else.
See, I broke the spirit then. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
As we close out today's program, we hope we provided you with some food for thought and some information to help you know thyself. As always, engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. Stay strong.
Cyberspace is the place that no army with artillery invades. Where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network, with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.